You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? How you doing? How you feeling? And how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Nerdificent. And sitting across from me, as always, is
Danny Fernandez. I'm here.
Yeah, and I'm Iffy Wadi Way too. I really didn't introduce myself. I was just so hyped to be in the booth. Oh man, yeah. How you doing, Danny? How's your week?
A thing, because we had our whole month that we did Mental Health May, and so like something that I've been talking to my therapist about is celebrating my wins more, because I don't, like, you know me, I'm very perfectionist and competitive, and like I'll get something, like I'll book a role or whatever, I'm like, cool, great, on to the next one. What else? Mm-hmm. What else? I need to do more. And it's just like not healthy. I don't recommend it. Yeah. People will be like, how do you do so many things? It's like, I'm a perfectionist and I'm never happy. Don't do it. Like, it's not worth it. And so anyways, long story short, I've been trying to treat myself, like, even if it's just for an afternoon, like I took myself out to the middle of like nowhere essentially and had like tacos and was just in peace. Mm-hmm. And social distancing, you know, but even like going to a beach, where like a secluded beach, and just like going into the water and like just appreciating my wins. So I've been trying to do that more, even if they're small. It's necessary, I feel, to do that. So that's I've been doing.
Oh, I've been doing my getting my vibe right. And I've been watching a lot of anime, which is good, because that brings us to what we're talking about today. We're talking about one of the anime staples, one of the anime ambassadors for a lot of people around our age. And talking about it with us today is none other than J.D. Witherspoon, a.k.a. Run, J.D. Run. What it do?
Hey, hi. What's up? J.D. here. How y'all doing? How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Glad to have you on. Glad to see Danny sipping on her coffee. Feeling good.
I guess we'll be talking about anime the whole time, but we like to start off with, asking our guests what they're nerding out about this week. So what's something you've been nerding out about this week?
In this past week, I have had the privilege of watching some new anime. Finally, I've been so out of the loop, but I started watching Fire Force. Anybody else watch that?
I haven't started yet, but it's everyone I know is talking about it. So yeah, that's a great choice.
Oh no, that show is, I mean, well, you know, not to sound like a pun, it is heat. It's good.
It is lit.
Yeah. It is lit. There's a fire emoji at the end of it somewhere. It's really good. I genuinely enjoy it, and the story is so obscure yeah. that I'm like, okay, anime. I see you stepping things up. I got it. That's cool.
Yeah, just mixing it up a bit, you know. And that's the funny thing about anime, right? It could be like these deep storylines, or it can be an anime about girls pushing each other off of a, you know, stool in a pool with their boobs and butts only. I forget the name of that one, but that's the one that everyone references when they say anime be wildin'. me this week, I think what I'm nerding out about is Ghost of Tsushima is going to be dropping. It was funny because with Last of Us, Sony hooked it up with the early copy and everyone was like, oh, I'm jealous. But now I'm seeing the homies with the early copy of Ghost of Tsushima. And I'm like, all right, now it's my turn to feel that jealousy. And I was like, who I need it. I need to be slicing people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, Ghost of Tsushima is this new like samurai game. It's heavily inspired by Kurosawa. And so like there's a whole Kurosawa mode that I don't even know about that I'm excited to try out. So it's gonna be that heat. I cannot wait. And I only have to wait a few more days. Yeah, what about you, Danny? Well, you're like jamming over there.
That's because I've had too much. Yeah, I've had too much cold brew. Yeah.
Like, I just looked over at Danny's box and she was like vibing. I was like, okay.
I'm just in my head. I told everyone I live in a little fantasy world in my head. I'm just like dancing. You know, whatever brings you joy during this pandemic. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I started reading / listening, which I still consider reading, on Audible, this book by Silvia Moreno Garcia. It's called Mexican Gothic, and it's really dope. It's set in Mexico. I'm only on chapter 7, so I'm not sure entirely what's all going to happen, but it's a horror novel. Ooh. And it's essentially this woman who, I think she's in her early 20s-ish, her cousin, who's like one of her best friends, ends up marrying this guy who like has a lot of money, and like she kind of disappears, and so she goes to like visit her, and it's in this like really creepy haunted like town that has a lot of history and this like evil stepmother and stuff. So I'm still learning about what's gonna happen. I'm really fascinated, but if you want to support Latinas in the horror space, then definitely check out this book, which is a great horror novel, and you can read along with me because I'm still getting into it. So yeah, definitely check it out. It's on Audible if you're like me and dance around in life apparently and don't sit still. I can't sit still. And so I'm always like cleaning and I'm listening to it, or cooking and I'm listening to it. So yeah, check it out.
You know, I think we'll just jump right into it with, you know, the early beginnings of Toonami, which I remember, which is, you know, launched in 1997 and then to 1999, that was the Moltar era. And it wasn't, at this time, it wasn't like the anime haven that it was before. It premiered March 17th, 1997, and it replaced this block called Power Zone. And it was like a weekday afternoon cartoon action block, and it had Moltar from Space Ghost, which, you know, well, Space Ghost was running from 1994, coast to coast, 1994. So he was already, end that with that. From Moltar, who was at the time on Space Ghost coast to coast. So it wasn't like a wild reference for kids. Like they were like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy from that show. And it was in the Ghost Planet Industries building. Do y'all remember this era much? I remember bits and pieces.
Of Toonami or just like Space Ghost or all this stuff?
When Moltar like, was the host,
of Toonami. And he would just pretty much like pull levers and that would start shows.
I feel like I remember that, but was that pre the main host that Steve Tom Bloom played?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Because yeah,
we're gonna talk about that because you said the main host Steve.
Not the main, but the guy who. In my opinion,
you're right. No, you're
he's the one that people know. But I know that there was someone else who played his voice prior.
There was. That's what like, we're talking. We're talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for like a year, and then I think he came back for one more year. So, yeah, I don't know, but I don't know why I don't remember. I think I do remember. Oh no,
It
was so short though. Yeah. It was like Moltar would be like, coming up on Toonami, blah, blah, blah. And he would just like, he'd be like, he would like pull a lever and be like, yeah, we got some Inuyasha tonight. You should check that out. And then I remember that, but I remember the vibe being so off because he wasn't like smooth or cool. He was just kind of like, yeah, you like anime? Sure. Here.
Well, yeah, here this was before they had kind of officially moved over to anime. So they had a lot of non-anime because they took over that Power Zone. They wanted just like action shows for that block, which they still had, you know, when it fully moved over to Toonami, they still had like, it was like the call for like, they just wanted action adventure that was like supposed to be the block at the time. So even the anime that they allowed to exist had to largely be action adventure. But yeah, this was before DBZ and before Gundam and before a lot of those shows that we finally got in the Tom era.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I was saying, because the Tom era was dope, and so it was first Sonny Strait, and then it was Steve, which Steve we know voices all buff characters. So it's also funny that this was like chubby Tom. You remember how at first he had like that?
Oh
belly?
yeah, he did.
Yeah,
yeah. Yo, I'm tripping. This is just taking me back. I forgot about all of this.
Yeah. The reason we started doing this episode is because we were doing the Cartoon Network episode, and me and Danny had that like flashback when we were reading through, like, oh snap. And we're like, we got to do a whole episode just on Toonami, because this is what straight up fueled me into the anime nerd I am today. Like, this was like, you know, because, you know, back in the day, internet wasn't popping like that. You had to get fan subs. If you don't know what fan subs were, that was when the one weeb who actually understood Japanese would be translating the Japanese dub, and then they'd be putting whatever they want. They'd be adding cuss words, like Vegeta be dropping F-bombs.
we had a spot near a Toys R Us that used to sell dub tapes. I don't know if he dubbed them or if he just went to Little Tokyo and bought them wholesale to try to make a profit. But my boy had all the Dragon Ball Z episodes that Toonami refused to get to.
Yeah, for real.
That they took so long to get to. He was like, bro, I can't wait anymore. Yo, let's watch this. Let's watch this this movie about some dude named Janemba. And I was like, okay. So it was the original Japanese show with, it wasn't dub, it was sub. So it was subtitled. The Japanese subtitle one, and it was like some of the stuff that was written on the screen. I was like, is this what they're talking about? Yeah. I was so confused.
Yeah. No, those were the janky ones. So like around that, you pretty much were relying on like Toonami. But yeah, they had the new host, Tom, which was voiced by Sonny Strait at the time. And he had the speech to kick it off. Do my best Sonny Strait, which is going to be bad. So it's a brand new Toonami, but the mission objectives remain the same. My name's Tom. I'm the new Moltar. Welcome aboard the Ghost Planet Spaceship Absolution, Cartoon Network's first and only interstellar broadcast and exploration vehicle. I'll give you the tour later. From this day forward, she is completely responsible for all Toonami transitions. I'm taking you guys into the new millennium. No big changes now. Same show, same attitude, new place to do it, new guy to do it with. I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's get back to it. Later. And then that also premiered the Midnight Run, which that's when you had those, like, it was because I remember the one thing I remember from Midnight Run that I could never forget is always Dragon Ball Z Uncut. I was like, oh, what they gonna show on that? And all it was is that it would, like, all the blood stuff that they tried to hide from us, they showed it to us. I thought Bulma was about to come out nude or something, like the way, like, because, you know, also at the time, for those who didn't know, we also had BET Uncut, which you got to see the uncut tip drill video, which is
same at all.
Like that's
well,
all
that
I,
was. Do you remember in DBZ? Like, so they would have the blood was like purple.
Yeah,
that's like So basically, you just got to see red or non-existent. Yeah, true. So basically, you just got to see red blood, like coming out of Vegeta, as opposed to the purple.
Yeah, that was the uncut that we were staying up late to see.
I remember seeing Krillin getting pierced by Frieza's horn during the second transformation.
Oh yeah.
In Japanese. And I remember watching it and I was like, what the hell is this episode? I was like, this did not happen in America, because Frieza like rams him and then like ride, makes him ride the horn for a few minutes, and he's like, ah, Goku. He's like, he's just like he's just getting stabbed. And I'm like, yo, this, I don't remember this. This is gross.
Which, by the way, we should mention, Krillin, voiced by Sonny Strait, is a voice of Tom, this first run of Tom. Oh, wow,
that's crazy. I didn't know that.
So he did sound not like how Iffy sounded, very smooth.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, Sonny Strait was a blaxploitation character? I don't remember. Hey, y'all, it's Sonny Strait, and welcome back to Toonami.
Like, no, this man sounds too smooth. He was, this is from the wiki, by the way, Tom stands for Toonami Operations Module, and this was like a pudgier, shorter, funny that it was voiced by Krillin. This is the shortest version of Tom, and yeah, so he was like our little, our little DJ, essentially, for Toonami.
He was the best version. I didn't like when he got buff. I was like, what is this aesthetic? I was bro.
He had the glow up.
I was like, give me back the couch potato I can resonate with. What do you say? Put the gut back on him so I can get back to feeling the same as he is when it comes to watching my anime. Let me eat my chips in the bed, you know?
Oh, yeah. I forgot this new... Oh man.
The new one was like, what's up, y'all?
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say the intruder. Okay, so how that came to be is they had this like this 8-episode miniseries called The Intruder, where and it ended with him really iconically like getting taken over by like Molten, where he was like sinking. And that's how he essentially, quote unquote, like died. He also had an AI, Sarah. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, it kind of floated around him, didn't it?
So this all took place in his ship called the Absolution. And then when he came out, she like essentially rebuilt him. She's like, Tom. And he comes out and he's like totally jacked. And I don't know. I feel like also because... Was this the era where they had Reboot? Yeah, they had Reboot early on. So I feel like they were taking some notes from some of those jacked,
Reboot,
sexy characters on Reboot.
They have some gifs of him in the... I linked also all the Toms in the chat, but also here's a site that has... kind of like is explaining like his evolution, and he came out with that thing on him. He came out and he started blasting. I was like, dang,
that's tight. I'm watching like a Toonami retrospective video right now in the background just to remember stuff. I'm watching this video of Toonami just realizing how all they did was repurpose old ass anime.
and like, just give it to us
low key. I'm sitting here and I'm like yo, low key, they played us. like it's all the stuff was dope, but I'm looking at like throwback anime. I'm like, bro, these are 80s anime that they were trying to sell us in the late 90s. They were like, yeah, this is we can make some out of this, right?
Yeah, it's like, you got it.
We have to take a really quick break, and then we're gonna hop into Tom Era 2 in the anime that was behind it. That was my era right after this.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And we're back. So Tom, the second era, the beefed up Tom, had like a bomber-esque character. He was taller, sleeker, deeper voiced. Sonny got to stay as Krillin, but Steve Blum is the one that took over as his voice. And they also added a Saturday morning block. I don't know if y'all remember this. It was called Toonami Rising Sun. This was from 2000 to 2001, and it was at 9 a.m. I think they were really trying to figure out their kids' age bracket because they had hooked a lot of middle school and high school kids. At least that's what I watched when I came home from school at 4 p.m., like that Toonami block. But then they had the uncut. They stayed up a little bit later, realizing that high school and college kids were highly consuming it. And then they were like, how do we capitalize on the little ones, though, or at least the younger? So like that block was more age appropriate, I think, for like elementary and middle school. And they also had it on over, they had a Toonami block over on WB Kids or Kids WB lineup. Yeah. They also had it and then eventually just realized it was a lot of competition with each other, which was fascinating. Toonami ended up competing a lot with Adult Swim. So they were still like trying to figure this out, what they were doing.
The morning block that I remember, because I was going to say, I remember when I was really young, I was watching Dragon Ball in the mornings and I had to wake up really early to watch the new episode. Same with Pokemon. Pokemon wasn't the Toonami stuff, but I just remember maybe that was the WB thing, because I remember getting up and getting almost at least in the first arc of the Frieza saga watching that, and also the Saiyan saga and all that stuff. And I'm trying to remember, I'm like, I remember it being on early in the mornings, and then randomly Toonami came out and it would be on in the afternoon, and then they went and started like a late night after, like later block of their viewing.
Yeah, so during the first Tom block, the shows they had running in the, during that first Tom 1.0, we'll say, was Batman the Animated Series, DBZ, Gundam Wing, The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, Reboot, Ronin Warriors, Sailor Moon, Tenchi in Tokyo, Tenchi Muyo, and Tenchi Universe, and Thundercats. They were already pushing that Tenchi on us. And so then we talked about that Tom 2.0, and that was in September 22nd of 2000. And they had a few schedule changes, like on May 14th, they changed it from 5 to 7. Then on June 3rd in 2002, they went back to 4 to 7. So, but all the programs that ran under Tom 2.0 were Batman the Animated Series still going, Batman Beyond, The Big O, boom. You know, I'm not going to pick that figure up again. The Blue Submarine number 6, Card Captors, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, G Gundam, Gundam Wing, Hamtaro, which I remember being so wild, He-Man, Masters of the Universe, Mobile Suit Gundam, Mobile Suit Gundam 8, Mobile Suit Team, Outlaw Star, which I just got on Blu-ray, Powerpuff Girls, Reboot, Ronin Warriors still going, Sailor Moon still going, Superman the Animated Series, Tenchi in Tokyo, Tenchi Muyo, Tenchi Universe, both of those three still running, Thundercats and Transformers Armada.
Jeez.
Yu Yu Hakusho and Yu Yu Hakusho and Zoids, New Century Zero and Chaotic Century. So they were pushing quite a few things. Now that's like, you know, and those are all the different ones that were in that block. But I mean, this is definitely one that I remember because these have all the big ones I remember. Big O, Outlaw Star, Gundam Wing, G Gundam, DBZ, Dragon Ball, even like Sailor Moon running, Card Captor Sakura, you know, Tenchi Muyo, all that Tenchi run. Like, I think this was the one I was really watching regularly.
From, yeah, I mean, I It's so fascinating. I know I've talked about how I love Tenshimuyo, and maybe it was just from the sheer amount that it was put at us.
Yeah.
But it is really fascinating because out of all of these, I still gravitated so much to DBZ, which is wild. It's just like that fan base became so ravenous. I think that that helped.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know a better word to describe it. I mean, people would go, it's kind of like what JD was saying, like we would go out of our way to get dubs and subs and like, you know, of course, everyone jokes that Toonami would re-air the same episodes. But like I was playing earlier, that's because of the Ocean dub, then moving over to the Funimation dub. And so it was like all this like delay, essentially, in getting English version over here. But also, I think a reason why we became obsessed is because we were just inundated with the same, you know, same shows on here. But they threw in some other things, like you said, like Powerpuff Girls, you know, things that weren't necessarily things that were in their regular lineup that they added.
Oh, 100%. It really watching the like looking at this list, I can totally see how everyone has like broken off, you know, from this. Like all the Gundam heads are in here. You know, you got you big robos because you have the Gundams, Big O, and then you have like Outlaw Star, you know, in here, you know, holding it down. And the Yu Yu Haku shows of it all. Like these were like all the, I feel like the anime sects were starting right here. And also this was the list that if you were talking to some like gatekeepy weebs, you have to say something other than these, you know, you can say they're like, oh, you watch. Yeah, I'm sure you watch Yu Yu Hakusho, but have you seen this thing that was like, shut up.
Yeah. They started to do cool things too. Like, expanding just from what their list was, they had in 2003, it was the week of February 24th, they did Giant Robot Week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. It was a 5-day special where they only aired mech series and mech anime. Yeah. So they were taking a lot of risks, I think, over there trying to see. They were still trying to figure out their demo, at least in my opinion, by like the different experiments they did with having a late night, having an early morning, moving their times around, trying to figure out like which kids they were hooking. And so then we go into the Tom 3 era, which was 2003 to 2007.
They made them buffer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's really funny. Like their masthead show, in my opinion, which was DBZ, had super muscular buff dudes.
Yeah.
So what else? Oh, yeah. They also premiered their own show, which was Immortal Grand Prix. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember it. I definitely.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. It was like, I'm going to look up images because I the name. Yeah. Yeah. IGPX Immortal Grand Prix. It reminded me a lot about, because it was like a racing show, but like I think they wore these like these, yeah, they had these giant suits, and it reminded me a lot of Tiger Bunny. And I think I used to mix them up a lot because of that.
And so another thing that they did during this time was they actually took Toonami off of weekday afternoons and they moved it to a Saturday evening slot. I think this also represented one that, you know, on our Cartoon Network episode, we talked about how Cartoon Network like was in their heyday. This was like Ed, Edd and Eddy, Powerpuff Girls, Dexter, like all of those. So that was their afternoon block. And so they ended up moving Toonami to weekday afternoons. And late night, I think, to also show how their viewership was aging. You know, a lot of the kids that were starting to watch them that watched them in, say, 1999 were now graduating high school. And so it was still trying to figure out. I still to this day think they're trying to figure out their demo. But we'll get into that, too, because now they're competing against streaming anime services. I guess, JD, I had a question. Like, what shows did you resonate with the most? And how do you remember consuming Toonami? Were you watching it late at night? Were you watching the main block after school? Like, how were you consuming it?
I think I was definitely one of the after school consumers, like, because I vividly remember bothering my parents to pick me up on time. So and they'd be like, well, you gotta come home so early for, why can't you just hang at school and play on the yard? And I'm like, stop neglecting me, pick me up and take me home so I can heat up some Pop-Tarts and some Nesquik so I can watch whatever is coming on this afternoon. Because I know when I was younger, I know for like a fact that, like, because I'm looking through the shows right now, I know Beast Wars Transformers was heat. Mm-hmm. I was so into that. I remember specifically saying to myself, yo, I was specifically saying, yo, Transformers has never been this good. I was like, the fact that they ever thought transforming into cars or planes was ever cool was trash. Give me robots that turn into animals.
Oh yeah, they were so hard.
I loved Optimus Ape Prime and the Cheetah one and whatever else they did on that cartoon show. Oh, that was such heat. Yeah. Obviously, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon was great. Super Friends was trash to me. Reboot to me was probably the first semi-representation of animated black people that I remember seeing when I was younger.
Yeah, bro had dreads.
Because I was like, I know that they're all polygons, but my man's has got to wear a do-rag at night. Like, I'm looking at this dude. There's no way. And he had that, like, I forget the name of the dude who plays Urkel. He had that type of voice. Jaleel White. He had that Jaleel White, like, oh man, y'all, we gotta keep going. Reboot. Like, it, you know, it was like the whole show was definitely that. Powerpuff Girls, dang, is that where they debuted it on Toonami?
No,
something they came across? No way.
Yeah, I think they were like, what constitutes anime? What are I going to add? You know, they were starting to do that with more shows. But like you were mentioning, Super Friends, like they did, if this is owned by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of the DC characters that they, so, you know, they ended up having, you know, multiple Batman series, like Batman Beyond, I believe, and Teen Titans, Justice League Unlimited. So they started to boost it with some of their DC franchises too. Mm. And then also having Samurai Jack, you know, they had some of their own Cartoon Network produced shows that they were adding. But what is fascinating about this is, like, you couldn't miss, like, as far as us, like, racing home, everyone talks about, like, racing home to see Toonami. The difference between a lot of Toonami shows and, say, Cartoon Network or Adult Swim is that they, a lot of their shows were episodic, meaning it would all be contained in one episode. If you look at Dexter, each episode just stands alone. You don't have to watch. Like, if you miss an episode of, say, DBZ, you're going to be lost, typically. Mm-hmm. It's like a bunch of things will happen that will feed into the next episode. So, you know, or there's a lot of standing around and nothing really happening, so you're okay. But, like, you can't just, like, it's not just like Ed and Eddie where you could pick up wherever you wanted and they're all self-contained. Well, so
I wanted to talk about, because we were talking about them kind of riding their other shows and kind of like, you know, building this culture and riding the hype. And I can't, as a big Robo fan, leave the, I think, best American attempt at that, which was Megas XLR, which was about these two, like, American dudes, slackers, who found a robot and used it to fight these giant monsters. And they had, like, lots of, like, references to different anime. Like, there was a group called the Ultra Chicks that were obviously Sailor Moon ripoffs. Like, it was a really good show, Megas XLR. So definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm. We have to take another really quick break. Then we're going to hop into Tom Era 4 and their cancellation right after this.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And we're back. Now we're talking about Tom Era 4 was very fascinating. Again, they wanted to, I think, make a more kid-friendly version of Toonami because they were starting to lose. Their numbers were starting to lower. So they ended up making these two new AI robots and turning Tom essentially into, I'm not going to lie, his face looks like Thomas the Tank Engine. In fact, there's like memes online about it. I think they were experimenting and they just wanted a more, I don't know what they were going for, but they ended up kind of just canceling the Toonami block. And Tom had this whole little send off where he was like, you know, oh, this is it. Says, well, this is the end, beautiful friends. After more than 11 years, this is Toonami's final broadcast. It's been a lot of fun, and we'd like to thank each and every one of you who made this journey with us. Toonami wouldn't have been anything without you. Hopefully, we've left you with some good memories. So until we meet again, stay golden. Bang. And he just fired off into the sunset. So that happened, and it was off the air for 4 years, actually.
Was that Tom version 4 who did the
know it was not I was, fair.
No, it is. I'm looking at this, Tom, and I forgot about this. This one needed to go. This one looks ridiculous. I don't know what
that's
he's
the reason. That's the reason it ended.
I don't know who the artist was. They needed to shut that down. I forgot. I skipped this era. This is 2007. Oh yeah, I was in high school. I wasn't watching Toonami as often as possible. I was leaving high school. I was going into college.
Yeah. Same. I graduated 2006, and by this point, I've already reached the era of when my homie was downloading Naruto from the internet, the fan subs, burning it to a DVD-R to me, and then giving me. So I've been locally sourcing my anime at this point. I'm like Toonami. Yeah. But the early Toonami era, let me see if they have it. Or maybe this was Adult Swim. Yeah, it was Adult Swim at this point, because they had a split at one point where Toonami was like some anime, and then the darker stuff they pushed to Adult Swim. So like Android Kikaider, I saw that on Adult Swim, but also Witch Hunter Robin. And the only reason I remember Witch Hunter Robin was because I was so hyped that, and I remember this, I taped all of it on the VHS. I was like, I gotta get this. And I taped all the VHS. But then by this point, the internet was a little more available. Like, my dad still had me on that Net Zero, but I still was able to, like, you know, download videos here and there. I was downloading Red versus Blue videos. I was out of Toonami.
I was gonna say, I meant to add before I forget that final, when he said bang, is because Steve Blum also voices Spike from Cowboy Bebop, and that's what he says. So it was kind of like a little nod to that. I also think this is when they were airing Dragon Ball GT, so another reason why it needed to end.
Hey, hold on now. I like GT now. Y'all gotta stop with this GT slander, man. I hate that.
I'm so glad you said that, because I literally wanted to do a GT episode. And I was like, but I have to find someone who messes with GT, because I want that episode to be someone who's like, I'm a fight for mustache Vegeta.
The arcs were weird, but it wasn't bad. People act like it was bad. I'm like, how you going to be mad at the man for continuing his story? And then they're like, no, he didn't.
I don't think it was Akira. I don't think it was Toriyama.
It wasn't Akira?
He wasn't as involved. I mean, I might be wrong and someone will write me. But that was why it was a big deal when Super, he was involved with, when he came back. And it was like, this is how it should be carried on. But I, you know what? To your credit, JD, Super Saiyan 4 is the coolest form. They look dope and hot, and they're just like their fur on their bodies, along with like their under their mascara, whatever they're wearing, their eyeliner. It is a Goku that looks like he actually knows what he's doing in the bedroom and out. I will say that it was the first time when I was like, wow, I can't say because we don't cuss on here, but I was like, this man F's, I can tell. Regular Goku looks like someone's dopey little brother who I adore. But that Goku looked like
the level fours were interesting. I think the reason level fours were cool to me, I don't know if they were my favorites, but they were cool to me. And I don't even think that's really the appeal of GT. In my opinion, the main appeal is the fact that you get to see Goku go back to being a kid for however long. I kind of thought that was dope just because I watched Dragon Ball back in the day. And it's just dope that little kid Goku is just beating the brakes off of people. I don't know why I enjoy that. Yeah. But
this, look at this. This man looks like he would take your girlfriend in front of you and you'd be okay with it. Like, look at him.
That's, he does.
I mean, that's the one thing I will, if we were going to take this full sidebar, that's why I like level four, because level four is the only Super Saiyan transformation that makes sense. You know, like they have all this power in there, right? Like, you know, their gorilla form, and so of course you would think like a powerful form would have some fur, have their tail grow back. And so it's like, I hope they like retcon it and like add it into, you know, newer ones if we get some.
They should, because making him skinnier was like not the choice, in my opinion. Remember how we talked about how?
Oh yeah, you already know how I feel about that.
Okay.
Wait, well, which one was skinnier?
So his his most recent in Super, they made them leaner. They made him skinnier.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In their opinion, he should be able to. It was like, you know, most fighters that are efficient are not actually bigger. Like that isn't the most efficient for how fast and your power. Someone's gonna write me because I'm butchering this, but essentially that was the mentality behind it, was that they would be more efficient with their power, so they wouldn't have to be all buffed up. They could be more powerful just with their power as opposed to their body, like their physical body.
Come on now, Beefcake Goku, Beefcake, stop. Don't even, saying that negates the whole 100% power level power up moment between Goku and Frieza. Don't even do that. like when they started getting roided out, I was like, yo, they're getting big now, look at them. he's like, I'm not even using my full power. Well, show it to me. Those shoulders turned into freaking planets. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Even though I didn't care, but I still loved it, like, because unfortunately, that's just what the 90s and early 2000s and 80s and everything before that. That's just what power meant. You got muscles, like, you know, so they can't. I mean, I don't know.
That's why they have characters. When you look at Beerus, who isn't jacked like that, but is a god, like stronger than everybody. So they started to lean into that more. And even to some extent, Frieza. I always love how Frieza's dad, King Cold, is like four times his size, but like, you know, has only half his power. Mm-hmm. So I love that they would constantly surprise the audience by having smaller characters actually be the most powerful.
I know what you mean. I think there's definitely a difference between Super and DBZ, but I was going to say, I did think, like, unless the moment in the arc called for it, they did not need to roid out. Like now literally thinking about that, Super Trunks was a waste of goddamn time. Like,
he was so great.
He was good. I'm saying that there's a point in the Cell saga between Cell dogging everybody in form number one, or he was absorbing people, and then when he became level two by absorbing 17, Trunks was the, I think Vegeta allowed it to happen. He got his ass beat, and then Trunks was like, I'll handle it, father. And he couldn't get to Super Saiyan level two. He could only get to Super Saiyan 1.5. And he was like really big and bulky. And I was like, what is this? and he specifically said, my mobility is limited.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because you like went and just did roids, bro. You're not stronger. you're just bigger. Like the hyperbolic time chamber did nothing for you. That was funny though.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? But they still did nod down to like the more leaner type of body types, because even Cell, when he finally transformed to Perfect Cell, he went from level 1 to 2, which was really hulky, to level 3, which was the obnoxiously, you know, Maurice LaMarche, like, yes, Goku, yes, like, you know, that thing. And I respect that. But no, every time a character you think is going to be whack is strong, that's always dope. Always, yeah. in anime, no matter what it is.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the main thing of really Mob Psycho and One Style Two with One Punch Man. Main characters are always so basic.
I love that.
They get hyped up and then they get hyper stylized. Oh, give me that. He can do that bit for the rest of his career and I'm eating it all up.
Yeah. One Punch Man sells that so well, because at the end of the day, Genos is supposed to be so dope, but he is dog garbage. He's trash. Like, he's so cool. He tries so hard. He gets all these modifications, but at the end of the day, he's just not that dude. He's the Vegeta of, he's the Krillin of that show almost. Like, he's the Vegeta, but he's always wondering how to get stronger, and he'll never reach Saitama. And Saitama's just like, hey man, someone's in my way, and there's a sale going on at the grocery market.
Yeah.
Like, he just punches him.
Like, I don't want to do it, but I got to because I need to get to this sale. Like, yeah,
I love that. Good.
So on April Fool's in 2012, Adult Swim switched it up, and normally they would air like The Room, but instead they made the Toonami block their April Fool's joke. You know, hurting our hearts like that. They aired the scheduled episode of Bleach, and then they went through with DBZ, Gundam Wing, Tenchi Muyo, like all the classics. But then after that, Adult Swim posted a message to their Twitter page saying, want it back? Let us know. # bring back Toonami. And so it was just a perfect move. Like, I think they knew they were bringing back Toonami, but they're like, let's get the hype there so people can be hyped about it. So it just exploded up until the next year in April 27th of 2013, where they premiered the new look and the return of Sarah. And it just that's when it kind of came back. There's not much to say. I think the only thing we could really talk about is how cool they premiered the Space Dandy on January 4th, even before they premiered it in Japan, which is kind of like flipping the whole spirit of Toonami, which was like kind of like the big export. Now they're like, nah, we're going to pop it off here too.
Yeah. And so it's a little bit difficult for them now, as far as like the future. It's almost like, okay, so they start a lot of series, let's say Super or My Hero Academia, when it's already on like season 3, you know, in Japan or on Crunchyroll or even Funimation, their app. And so it's just like some of them they've been trying to release as quickly as possible as they can with Japan. I know that this is heavily wrapped up in contracts, so it's not like they don't want to air it immediately, you know, for people that are like, they should do this. I know that if they could, they would. But I think in order for them to survive, they're going to need original anime, like that you can't get anywhere else. I think I think another thing is if they're open to doing subs, because subs, like dubs, it takes a while to get the dub out. And I feel like if they were open to subs that aren't necessarily huge on Crunchyroll or huge on Funimation, that might bring in an audience that's like trying to find that anime, even old anime. I feel like they could also capitalize on that by bringing back like, hey, you know, I know you grew up with Sailor Moon and DBZ, but here's some stuff you might have missed back when you were in elementary school that was coming out that no one remembers anymore. So it's hard, I mean, in my opinion, to, I don't really watch, I was kind of watching it for Super a little bit, but I don't really watch Toonami anymore. So as much as everyone's like, yes, bring it back, we adore it, it's like, how much of us are actually sitting down and watching it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the one thing I was talking about, because I was wondering the same thing. Like, I was wondering, how can a show like Toonami exist now? And it finally hit me when I kind of saw what they're airing now. The shows, Toonami doesn't live for people like us, I'll call old head weebs, because we got, you know, we got our connection. We have no problem getting Crunchyroll and Funimation. It lives for those high school kids, because when I saw what they're running, I was like, oh, all the poppin' animes that have all these kids yapping in the replies all the time are what's on. Your Dr. Stone, My Hero, all so like
Demon Slayer.
Yeah. Like Fire Force, you know, like those, and they are like, they're so, you know, wild. Like it was so funny, because if you know, I know Zeno Robinson, who voices Hawks and now voices Ogun and Fire Force, and like we did this thing where we switched each other's profiles, and with mine I switched and I put my face over it, and his was just like a black version of Hawks. It was a Hawks image painted black, and I had it and I forgot about it, and I just left it up there because it was still a picture of me even after we were done with the bit. And I got like some DM that was like, hey, can you remove your profile picture, because that is my edit that I made for Zeno and for his purposes only. And I was like, what? And I was like, and I looked at the profile and it was like a 17-year-old kid. And I was like, okay, I'm not even going to like go into, you know, copyright law with this kid, or why him just changing a character black does not make it his. I'm just doing one, because it's nice, and two, because it's a 17-year-old. They're not going to. So I changed it. It was so funny, because I was like, oh yeah, you know, like as much, you know, hate dubs get, like the people who are like standing them and those voice actors are the people who were us when we were little, and we only, and that's that, like we're not, you know, get going online, we're just watching it on TV. And so it just made me go like, oh yeah, Toonami can still exist because it's for the new generation, you know.
Yeah.
And that is what makes me happy, that it's still around.
The generation that yells at you for reposting their content that they ripped off from somewhere else. Hey man, that's my tweet. That's my tweet of that TV show that I like that I don't own, but that's my tweet, man. Give it back.
like I almost want to be like, yo, parody law, homie. I put my face on it, so it's no longer.
I put a watermark. What you gonna do?
It's transformational, yeah.
Hilarious.
I was like, last thing I need is to be dragged by some 17-year-olds in another this person steals art.
Oh man. Don't do it, man. They'll send their TikTok army on you.
Yeah, I don't need that anymore.
I'm on TikTok. I know how they work, how they rock. Yeah,
they ready. Oh my gosh. So we're getting out of here. JD, where can people find you? Let people know where to get in touch with you, what you got going on.
Social media platforms, anything JD Witherspoon. I also do gaming content on Twitch and YouTube under Run JD Run. Those are my handles. But yeah, I don't know. You could just search that, and you'll more or less find my platforms. I post too much for people not to see what I'm doing. So, yep, that's where I would say to check me out.
Oh, okay. And you know me, if you Wadi Way on Twitter and Instagram, if D's on Twitch, discord.gg/salt squad. If you want to join the convo and get in there and start chip chopping, which people have already been like, there's 36 episodes or 37 episodes of Death Note, not 26. And I knew when I opened up my crunchy ass Blu-ray, but I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a small edit. Y'all know. And we all know. So just letting you know, we know.
But thanks for letting us know. Y'all always got us back on that. Yeah, in the Discord, people come correct. Yeah, Danny, where can people find?
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the things. What else? Oh, yeah. I think this comes out. Thanks for everyone for writing me about my great debate episode. I have another one coming out this month, so check that out. And I will also be posting things as I'm allowed to announce them.
Yeah. Speaking of which, yeah, my episode is this Thursday. So
no, it was last Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. You missed it. Did you see it? Did you see it?
And as we always say, stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.